afternoon and welcome to Indie Business Radio for Monday, March the 1st, 2010. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Well, in case you didn't notice from my announcements in my newsletter and on Twitter and Facebook over the last several days, I am beyond excited about kicking off a new segment on Indie Business Radio that focuses on fitness. I plan to do this at least once a month as I find fabulous guests and experts and certified fitness and nutritionist experts to help us along the way. And this is the first show in 5 years that I've devoted to fitness, which actually ought to tell us all something. I suppose our guests will have something to say about that today. But, you know, according to the First Lady's new website, letsmove.gov, childhood obesity or excess weight threatens the healthy future of one-third of American children. We spend $150 billion every year to treat obesity-related conditions, and that number is growing. Obesity rates tripled in the past 30 years, a trend that means for the first time in American history, our children may face a shorter expected lifespan than their parents. Not good news, but we have some good news, and I've got one of a bit of it right here on the show today. Her name is Kimberly Linton, and she is near my beloved hometown of Washington, D.C. She is known as Washington, D.C.'s toughest trainer. She is a certified fitness trainer. She tweets on Twitter at LivinTheFitLife. I encourage you to join her there. And she's going to give us some tips and inspiration for us as small business owners to maintain as much health and fitness as we possibly can, because as we all know, if we want to have a fit business, if we want our business to be as fit as possible, then we need to be as healthy as possible as well. Kimberly, D.C.'s toughest fitness trainer, welcome.
Thank you so much, Donna Marie, for having me on the show. I'm so honored to be part of your kickoff, your health and wellness kickoff.
Well, you know, I think I've been hosting this show since 2005. I'd like to say it's about time. But certainly connecting with you on Twitter and other people has certainly made it harder to ignore fitness issues, which unfortunately I have done for quite some time. But those days are over. And, you know, I'm thinking there are other small business owners out there who spend hours and hours a day in front of a laptop or just, right, you know, in a sedentary situation. And I want to change that for myself and also encourage people to change that as well. So, Kimberly, let's start off with letting us get us to know you a little bit. How did you start your fitness coaching business?
Well, started my business started from a passion I had for health and wellness because of my own issues. My family is definitely, we have a background, our health history of high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, and a lot of heart attacks and strokes. And I saw myself as a young mother, married to someone in the military, letting myself go. So in 1994, I went to a fitness professional, a wonderful lady who was a trainer and a nutritionalist and a pro bodybuilder. So I got, you know, all three wrapped in one, and she changed my life. And I just felt that someone had the power over my life. I wanted to be able to give that to someone else, give them the coaching and help that they needed. So for the past 16 years, I've constantly flirted with going back into fitness. I'd work in a gym. I'd work with people one-on-one. I'd give it away for free for family. And finally, I got my MBA after joining the military. Got my MBA and thought I'd want to work in, you know, big business, corporate America, right?
Right.
That's where you take your MBA. And I quickly figured out that there's not a place for fitness in the corporate America. It's all about the grind, and it's all about their bottom line. And you know what? I forgot about my bottom line, my rear end. I gained 20 pounds the first 3 months of working on that job.
Mm-hmm.
So I started approaching, you know, getting back to my roots, going, working out, and I got scolded for working out. They told me that I was working out too much and it was stressing me out. So I told my boss, you know what, you're stressing me out because you should be encouraging me to be healthy and fit. So that was the day that I decided to start blogging, and I said I was going to walk away from that corporate lifestyle, but help people in that industry by giving them the tools they needed as business owners, you know, driving to make your, you know, career, to get yourself established. You kind of put your fitness on the back burner. So I just decided to be the person that would be the voice for the business owner, the heavily entrenched business person, to make sure they keep fitness on the front burner.
Well, you're doing such a fantastic job of that, and, you know, I'm looking at the picture I've been circulating of you for the past week or so, checking out those biceps, and, you know,
I look good.
Look on your face, that kick butt look on your face. But, you know, you're a small business owner, and
yes.
You train people, and, you know, you're the trainer, you're the leader of your business, and you know firsthand how important it is to be fit, even if you're not fit at your level, how important
right.
it is to be fit.
Right, and sometimes I forget, you know, this business is so easy to put, you know, making money and, you know, making payroll and paying,
yeah.
you know, payables, billables, you know, this expansion, this and that. And even sometimes I forget to put on my calendar that I got workouts. I say, yeah, I work out all day long with clients. But those are trainer sets. I do one or two reps with you and you bust out 20. That's not getting me to my fitness goals. And I had to, you know, pull myself back in and say, hey, this is about health and fitness. If you're not healthy, your business is not healthy, and your clients can see that you're not doing well, and it's going to exude in what you'll get out of your clients and the success that they will have. So I have to constantly bring my own goals back to the front. Kim, are you reaching your goals? Are you behind? Have you gained a little weight? You know, what are you doing? Are you still exuding that you know, passion about fitness that you should be? And you got to put that on your calendar. So I have to tweak myself every month or so. I get, you know, lax too, and I have to put it back on the front burner.
Okay, it's
hard. It's hard.
Yeah, you know, and it's so easy. You know, I read the statistics at the beginning of the show, and it's so easy. They're sensational, and they certainly are attention-getting,
right.
You know, for the media and stuff. But let's move past all that and get to real life. You've been doing this for 15 years. What
right.
have you noticed about your clients who are business owners or corporate executives or people who have sedentary lifestyles? What have you personally noticed about the types of clients that are coming to you for help?
And, you know, I know, like you said, the headlines are sensational, but the real life is even more, you know, disheartening, because I see them when they come in here, they have a lot of health problems, especially the small business owner, because everything is on his back or her back, and they have to make all the decisions for the business, and they stop making decisions that's good for them to help them be healthier. And I see them with, you know, low back pain, bad knees, shoulder issues, you know, from sitting on that computer all day long and type, never getting out of your seat, never moving more than going to work, coming home, and in between grabbing something, you know, grab a donut or a thing of Pepsi here and there. The diet is poor. This is a litany of things that they've got going on, and a lot of it's no sleep, high stress, and it's all from getting that grind, that whole grind mentality. So right here in my studio, I just had another lady come in today. It's the same. Set of situations that they have from just not putting themselves first, they just have a lot of health issues.
Well, and you know, if you think about it, or tell me if you agree, so much of what we praise ourselves for is that kind of lifestyle. Oh, you know, I haven't slept all week, I got the project
right.
done, and
right.
you know, I've been working so hard, I've had, you know, 3 fast food lunches at my desk all week, and that's it, and I stayed at the office till 10 o'clock. I mean, so
right, it's like a badge of courage. You know, I've been working all, you know, working myself to the bone, and this is what I've got for it.
Yeah, aren't I awesome? And of course, you know, if in this environment, sometimes it's your boss is sometimes looking for you to be sitting there
yes.
every waking moment, as you described
right.
in your personal situation. So, Kimberly, what do you tell people in this situation? They know they need help, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't be
right.
coming to you. But saying I need help and paying for good help is one thing, but actually doing it is another. How do you help people kickstart getting started?
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you, too, like I tell them, I try and keep it real, because they've had so many people sugarcoat things and minimize, well, you're making money, your family's living good, you know, all those things that you're supposed to be working hard for, you're achieving them. When they stand in front of me and tell me the things that they don't like about themselves, their health, you know what I tell them? I say, yeah, I know your boss wants you to work on that project, but you know what? If you're not there tomorrow because of something that's happened to you health-wise, your boss will give that project to somebody else. They will always step over you to find somebody else, so you need to step up, put yourself first. If it causes a problem on your job, you need to let your boss know that your health is important. If you can't get them to come online, you're going to have to try and start looking for another job. And guess what? You got to be healthy for that, because you can't take, you know, all these health issues with you to a new job, because that might keep you from getting insurance. There's so many issues with a small business person and a person trying to find another job, and they always tell me that their job won't let them do this. And I look at them straight in the eye and say, your job does not keep you from walking at lunch. Your job doesn't keep you from making good choices when you go to the grocery store. Your job is not there when you decide whether or not to skip, you know, the gym session. Your job is not the problem. It's really you not making good choices. And they really appreciate somebody telling them that and also giving them permission to say no to some things and actually, you know, prioritize better. They're looking for someone to help them coach. And I do a lot of, I do more coaching, I think, Donna Marie, than anything. I think the weights are one thing and nutrition, but it's more the coaching through the lifestyle. It's a huge lifestyle change here we're asking people to make. And it's really the coaching that they need, someone to help them stand up for themselves. Sometimes they just don't feel comfortable saying, I'm going to work out. I'm not going to go to that meeting with you guys because I'm going to work out at lunch. They just feel like they can't stand up and say that and feel funny that they're not pushing like everyone else. And I think having someone give them good strategies on how to do it, and they just love the fact that someone's empowering them to put their health first.
And you really do back this up with substance. You had a group of women in February who took your February fitness challenge.
Yes.
Tell us about their success.
Oh, it was my first time ever doing an online challenge. I did do an online challenge once before on Twitter, but it was more open, and they didn't really have enough accountability. So I wasn't sure people were actually putting their money where their mouth is because there was no money. So this time I did a paid challenge in February. It was a small nominal fee to have someone kick your butt all month, making you put your health first for 1 month, 28 days, to see what you can do so that you can prove to yourself that there's nothing you can't do if you have a good plan. So me being the coach, I provide the plan. I put the meal plans out. I put all kinds of suggestions and gave an environment for the women to talk, a safe space where they can talk about their challenges, celebrate each one's success, and also ask questions. I mean, I couldn't believe all the chatter and the conversation that went on between the women. And each week, they got on the scale, just like on The Biggest Loser. You know, we all love The Biggest Loser. They got on the scale in front of that small space of people. So that it was intimidating, but not that intimidating because we're all in this together. So I think the environment was set for a competition. It was also set for them to encourage each other, so it wasn't like backbiting type competition. It was like, we're all trying to win here, but we're also trying to help each other. And they actually lost 117 pounds in 28 days, and that was amazing. One lady, the winner, the grand prize winner, Carol, she lost 24.4 pounds, and she's just amazed. She's, you know, taking somebody from one weight level to the next weight level. That's a huge thing for anyone to go from, you know, that size to all within 1 month. So now she said her possibilities are endless, and I just feel like it was amazing. 28 days, and I got to learn a lot about people and the challenges they're having because of the questions that I would get from them. It was really great. It was a great challenge. They all did great. They all did great.
I know you were getting one of those off the ground. Is there still a chance to register for your March challenge?
No, unfortunately, we're supposed to start today. The weigh-in was supposed to be at 12 o'clock, but I don't know if maybe, you know, I think the success of the February challenge, I will say, I have to attribute a little bit to the Biggest Loser mindset. And I used to tweet a lot, you know, you've been following me for a while, you know, on Tuesday nights, I would tweet during the Biggest Loser. And on the night of the Biggest Loser, the actual before my February challenge, I got most of the people in that challenge were from that time, that tweeting period during the Biggest Loser, because I think everyone is so competitive and everyone wants to be on TV. They don't really want to be on TV losing weight. So here was an opportunity for them to lose weight and win a prize and feel good about themselves and just came at a good time. I think everyone was just a good, you know, and then we had the Olympics, you know, no gig on the Olympics, but they were on for 3 weeks, no Biggest Loser. So, you know, I was kind of forced with just my normal amount of people that were following me, and I don't think the word got out enough. But we'll see if we can try it again down the road. Yeah, unfortunately, I was definitely sad. I was hoping to help another group of women lose some weight this month. But they still can work with me. Still can work with me, though.
I certainly believe, and you're right here on the show helping a lot of people as well. We're talking with Kimberly Linton, DC's toughest fitness trainer, and I think probably one of the most important and influential tell it like it is fitness trainers on Twitter. You know, Kimberly, let's talk for a minute then about, you know, we're going to talk specifically about small business owners and self-employed people, but so many people are starting their businesses while they also have a full-time job. And
yes, like I did, same thing.
Yeah, I mean, they're keeping that full-time job in large part because of the health benefits that it gives them. And you're saying that, you know, the situation with health benefits at a corporate level is, of course, changing, right? You're having to pay for more and more of it these days anyway.
Right, and they're also judging your health, your actual rates on your fitness. These companies, when you go, you know, you start working somewhere, they do a health assessment on you, and they actually charge your insurance based on your current health and fitness. So if you're coming with pre-existing conditions or if you're coming with a propensity of having diabetes or they find out you have diabetes, they're going to charge you a higher rate for your insurance. And it was already high. So you can imagine being kind of labeled as somebody who has poor health, and half of your paycheck is going to health and paying for insurance premiums. So they're also rewarding. You know, there's the other side of the coin, too. They're also rewarding employees for better health. So I have had a lot of clients tell me that they're paying for their sessions. They've got the companies also giving them cheaper premiums. So some companies are rewarding, others are penalizing, but it all comes down to you, the person who knows they're looking for a job, know they're moving, or they know they're going to start up their own business, and they got to go out into the private sector and get their own insurance. This is definitely not the time to be, you know, coming up overweight or not falling within healthy high blood pressure standards, things like that. So you want to make sure that you're healthy, especially during transitions and even while you're on your job. They do a lot of assessments throughout the year, and you hate to get caught up in something like that. You want to make sure you're healthy all the time.
We're talking this afternoon with Kimberly Linton. She is a certified fitness coach, and she's giving us her take, her upfront, up-close, and personal take on the state of fitness in this country, based in large part on what she sees every day in her practice. When we come back, we're going to talk about specific things that people at all fitness levels can do to get themselves up and start moving and increase the fitness levels that they have today. That's right here. Don't touch that mouse. This is Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here this afternoon talking with Kimberly Linton, known as DC's toughest fitness trainer. And I want to encourage you, even if you can't listen to the whole show, of course, you can always download it or stream it on iTunes and at my website at indiebusinessradio.com. But I do want to encourage you to follow Kimberly at livingthefitlife.com. That's LIVINTHEFITLIFE. On Twitter, Living the Fit Life, because even if you're not signed up for her one-on-one coaching or you're not signed up for her fitness challenges online, you can get a lot just from her tweets, especially on Mondays, because she tweets out all this no-excuses stuff like, you know, I don't care if it's, you know, 32 degrees outside. That's no excuse for you not to exercise. I'm like, okay, yes, well, let me go outside, and or you know, you can run inside or whatever it is that you want to do. So, Kimberly, let's talk about things people can do. Let's maybe try and divide it up so we can address different questions people may have. Let's say, you know, I'm a pretty sedentary person, not moving around too much, but I don't really have any health problems yet. I'm not noticing anything. My doctor hasn't said anything. What are some of the things that I can do, you know, that I can fit in and keep my business going? Because, you know, I'm wearing all the hats here, so it's not like I can drop everything and get fit and then not be able to make any money.
Right, and I think that most people think that if I can't get in an hour, you know, why even try? You know, if I can't go to the gym every day of the week, you know, why even set myself up for that? You know, if I can't do this, can't do that. So I think we think about all the things we can't do, and we forget about the things we can do that are simple. I always tell people, keep it simple. Start out slow. I'm not saying slow as in work out once a week, but just find ways to do something every day along the way. So rather than having to just carve out 30 minutes or half hour, hour or whatever for fitness, you're going to do something while you're on the phone. Maybe don't sit down anymore on the phone. Walk around. you know you can burn about 50 to 100 calories just walking around, talking on the phone, taking your conference call, standing up. You know, like right now I'm walking around kind of pacing because I want to keep my heart rate up. I want to keep, you know, the juices flowing and keep me burning rather than, you know, burning more calories while I'm walking around talking. That's one way. And maybe just during the day, you're not going to talk to people on the phone. You're going to get up, go to their cubicle, walk upstairs and see them versus sending them an email. That's some steps. That's getting in movement. Maybe I'm not going to take the elevator all day long when I can walk up 3 flights of steps. So you can try and find out through the day. You can find opportunities. Look for fitness opportunities. They're right there in front of us if we have the mindset to do them. So a lot of times we're looking for that gym experience, or I got to stand in front of TV and do a tape, or I got to take a class. How about you just find ways during the day, maybe pick a couple exercises while you're at work. You can do some wall sits. You can do wall push-ups. You can sit down and get up and down in your chair. Those are squats. So all those things, you know, at the end of the day, boil down to exercise. It doesn't have to be formalized. So if you've got some time to carve out, we great. Okay, wonderful for you. So if you've got the time to carve out, maybe you will take a gym, a class at the gym. But I like people to try and do things without having to go to the gym, because the gym might become an excuse. You know, we all have excuses. So let's pick some exercises that are going to work all of the whole body. So I tell people to warm up with maybe some marching in place, you know, put a good song on, just march in place for about 2-3 minutes, then bust out about 5 or 6 calisthenic-type exercises. What are calisthenics? They're all body weight exercises. Push-ups, jumping jacks, high knees, mountain climbers, all those things are calisthenics. So if you pick those 5 calisthenics and do them back-to-back and maybe take a break and repeat them, and then maybe if you've got enough energy, you repeat them 3 times. That's still only like a 5-10 minute workout. But that really, studies have proven the person that does 5 to 10 minutes of exercise maybe throughout the day actually gets more benefit from the person who works out once a week. So there is a lot of benefit to short, quick workouts. That's why I would tell them to start first. Get in a short, quick workout that doesn't have to happen in the gym, and it doesn't have to happen, you know, in some formalized setting. It could be anywhere.
That is so encouraging to hear, because, you know, we do sort of have this mentality that, well, I'm going to join the gym, and then if for some reason you can't go, and you know, there are lots of reasons that might be able to keep you from doing that, then you just don't do anything. And I'm guilty of that as well, and I have to tell you, I am pacing the floor now as I do this show. I've never done that before. But that's a really good tip. If I can burn 100 calories a week just by doing my radio show, standing up, walking around my office,
yes,
I want to
get moving.
That.
That's
what?
One tip.
That's great.
You know that, did you?
It's so encouraging for people because, you know, as small business owners, we do spend a lot of time usually on the phone.
And we're usually sitting down, right? We're sitting down. Maybe we're eating, too, while we're on the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't mean to throw that in there on you, did I? You didn't think I was going to throw that in there, right?
Well, I'm actually not eating, but I'm guilty of it, sitting down eating while I'm on the phone and checking emails and the whole nine yards.
Right, exactly. So just moving around a little bit while we're on the phone, you know, maybe, like I said, spend less time emailing and more time going to see people. And I think one good tip that a lot of people may not know, getting up every 90 minutes from your seat. No matter what, get up, put an alarm on your computer that says, ding, get up out your seat, go move. So you have to get up every 90 minutes to move and basically get some, you know, just, you can't sit that long all day. It's not
right.
Good for you.
Very, very good. This is such helpful information from fitness expert Kimberly Linton. So let's talk then, Kimberly, about people who may have some health-related issues. And, of course, I want to throw in the caution here to make sure that everyone listening checks with their doctor or health professional before starting any kind of fitness or exercise or nutrition program. Make sure you do that. Kimberly's got some great information here, but nothing can substitute for the advice of your own personal medical professional. And for people who may, you know they have some issues coming on, they've got to go see their doctor, but what sorts of things would you suggest for them to begin to make some changes in their lifestyle for the benefit of their health?
Right. You know, it's so funny that I just had a client, I got 2 new clients because they went to their doctor and they were told by their doctor that they were on the verge of having diabetes and having hypertension.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that became a wake-up call for them, like, okay, no more saying that I'm going to do it. What can I do? Of course you can get a trainer and get somebody to help you one-on-one, but if you don't have that access, you know, because you don't have the time to carve out, you know, we small business owners, we have to be at the helm all the time. But what I would suggest for them to do is start walking. Walking is the safest exercise out there. There's not a doctor in the world that would tell you not to walk unless you've got an issue with your legs that prevents you from walking.
Mm-hmm.
Walking is something that will get your heart rate up, and people are losing thousands of pounds every month just walking. So they have a lot of tapes to walk away the pounds. They've got, I mean, you can just put some music on and walk in place. You can, you know, get outside. The weather's starting to clear up, you know, so that's not going to be an excuse for people here pretty soon. They're going to be able to, you know, there's no more snow mounds here in D.C. They're all melted, and you can get out there and walk on the sidewalks. That is the best thing to start. If you can just get out and walk, one, and that walking is good, but two, being outside, it really helps you mentally just as much as physically. Being outdoors, getting fresh air, seeing a different environment, it will help you in your business. It will clear your head. It will get you moving, help you lose weight and, or manage some of the ongoing, oncoming health issues, but it will get you in the right frame of mind to make good decisions in your business.
Kimberly, let's talk about different types of specific things that you can do, like in categories. Let's talk about aerobics, and let's talk about weights. But actually, let's talk about weights first, because that's a topic that really interests me, especially as a woman. Talk to us a little bit about what kinds of weights we should use if we're just starting out, or, you know, should we use the machines, free weights? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know what? I always tell people there is no one, you know, thing to use or not to use. You know, there's no reason why you can't mix it up. You can't use a little bit of everything. You know, I always tell people that the machines in the gym are great. I love the machines in the gym. But one thing I don't love about the machines in the gym, they don't mimic real life.
Okay.
The machine either pushes forward, you know, you're doing a chest press, it pushes forward, it lets your arms come back, right? Either you're doing a shoulder press and it's pushing over your head and you're coming back down. A leg press, you're going to lift your legs up and they're going to go down. So there's no range of motion besides the forward or the up or the side. When you do things that are mimicking life, it's called functional training. So I would suggest that anyone start with a functional training program that's going to require them to bend over, pick something up, lift it up in the air, put it back down. Just like mm-hmm. you do your laundry basket, your overhead, your suitcase in the airline overhead compartment, and all of a sudden you feel something pulling in the back of your neck. You're not used to lifting things over your head in a different range of motion. So, like I said, machines are great, but they don't mimic real life. So I like to get people picking up maybe a weight, a ball or something, and take it and make it do a chopping motion. That mimics lifting and moving at the same time, because that's what you do when you lift up your laundry. You mm-hmm. pick up the basket. Don't you turn and put it on top of something?
Right.
Those are things that mimic your life, actual things you need to do every day. So functional training is basically mimicking life movement. So I always make sure that I get them out with free weights, which is functional training. Free weights go in all range of motion. So there's nothing that they can't use. They can use the machines, mm-hmm. free weights, take classes. There's really nothing, especially when it comes to women. I think most women think that if I start lifting weights, I'm going to get big. That is the most craziest thing that we have been perpetuating as women.
Right.
And I think it's because we don't want to go over in the area where the weights are at, because that's where the guys are at, and they're looking at us because we're not the shape we should be, and we don't want nobody seeing us over there, so I should stay away from weights because it's going to make me look big. That's how that whole thing started. Women don't want to go in the back room where the weights typically were in the gym. They're always in the back, and there were always a whole bunch of guys back there working on making grunting noises and looking kind of crazy. So we always said, I don't want to go back there. One, I don't look, you know, I feel intimidated, and I don't look like that, so I don't want to be around the guys. So I'm going to stay over in the other area where the little lighter weights are at and where the bands and things are at, because that area is not for me. Well, that area is for you. Matter of fact, you need to spend some time in that area, because you've got to challenge your body with heavier load every once in a while. It has to be challenged to progress and to burn more calories if your goal is weight loss. So you need to visit that area where those guys are grunting. Hopefully you can put on some music in your ears, you don't hear them grunting, but you need to be over there with those heavier weights sometimes. And that's to challenge yourself. You're not going to get big. You're only going to get big if you eat like you are training for a weightlifting competition. So you have to be eating and also have the DNA for that. Most women are not built to become big unless you are you're just some kind of person that's, you know, genetically built like that. Your whole family is built like that. Most women will not put on a muscle that quickly. It takes a lot to put muscle on women, and that's one of my jobs, and most women come to me and say, oh, I want muscle on me. I mean, it's not something that happens overnight, and it's a process that we go through for months before they even notice any major changes, and it's never large. It's more leaner, sleeker, more defined. That's what women will get by lifting heavy weights.
That sounds good to me, too. We've got a question in the chat room, Kimberly, from Lisa at Blue Moon Candles, and you talked about walking earlier. Lisa would like to know approximately how many minutes of walking a day should we aim for?
If you've got the time, you should aim for at least 60 minutes of walking a day. Even the government has said, they finally come up out of their hole and have said that people need at least 300 minutes of exercise, vigorous exercise a week. So that would account for 5 days at 60 minutes a day. So if you can get in 60 minutes, 5 days a week, you're actually moving enough, you're walking enough to get an actual calorie burn to lose weight. If you're trying to maintain your current weight, Lisa, you would want to just do 150 minutes of cardio, some kind of vigorous cardio activity a week. So, you know, they're saying at least 30 to 60 minutes depending on your fitness goal.
That's such great advice. And, you know, I've recently started wearing a pedometer. Do you have any ideas on how many steps people should take? Let's talk with people who want to lose weight or people who just who need to just maintain a fitness level.
And what's so great about a pedometer, it helps you. It gives you something to track progress. To base what you're doing against what a standard or if you know something will give you a result, you have to have some way of gauging what you're doing. So without a pedometer or some kind of calorie management system or something, how would you know how many miles you walk? With that pedometer, if you can get in 10,000 steps, I know it sounds like a whole lot, but if you can get in 10,000 steps through talking while you're on the phone, chasing the kids, taking the stairs, parking farther away, going for that walk, 10,000 steps is about 5 miles. If you can get in 5 miles of movement a day, that's what's going to help you lose weight. So anywhere from 5,000 steps to 10,000 steps are going to help you in your weight loss journey or help you at least keep your heart healthy. This is about heart health, which in turn translates to cardiovascular exercises, which is going to help you lose some weight.
We're talking this afternoon with Kimberly Linton. She is a certified fitness trainer, filling us in on the latest information that we need as small business owners to maintain our health, to get in the best shape possible so that we can serve not only ourselves and our families, but our business and our customers. Because, hey, it takes a lot of special kind of endurance to be successful in business during the long term. So let's not let our health set us back and ruin the good efforts that we have, the good creativity and innovation that we put into our business. We're going to come back for the final segment and talk with Kimberly about nutrition. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back for our final segment today on Indie Business Radio with Kimberly Linton. We have a comment from the chat room from Heather at Natural Grace on Twitter, Kimberly. She says that she really enjoys walking. She's in a lives in a very cold area of the country. Winters are really tough for her to get motivated. And also, she says being pregnant now, she's kind of really fading with her energy level. Do you have any tips for her? Of course, she should consult her doctor. But outside of that, what are your ideas?
You know, I've had several of my clients who have been pregnant or have gotten pregnant. And, you know, motivation is hard for all of us, but at being pregnant, there's some special, you know, things that are going on with you that are going to look, demotivate you. But one thing all doctors will tell you, or any fitness or any health professional will tell you, when you are pregnant, you don't want to add anything new. So if you were already walking, keep walking. If you were already lifting weights, light weights, keep lifting them. If you were on a treadmill, you can still do the things that you already did. You don't want to introduce new stuff. You don't want to go out taking a Zumba class or spin or anything like that. But you do. They do recommend you exercise. That's for the safety and healthy birth child. These are all things that you need to do as, you know, going to be a mother. So you want to do them safely, and if there's anything that you can't do because your doctor said not to, you want to stick with that. But what they will tell you is if you are already walking, still do that, because that's the best form of exercise for anyone, pregnant or not. That's the best way for you to stay motivated. Just get out there for that walk, clear your head, move. It'll help you have a very healthy baby, and also it'll keep your mind, it'll keep you motivated if you can get out there and walk. So as long as you're not adding anything new, it's fine.
Great. Good advice. Heather, thank you for that question. And, you know, I wanted to follow up on something you said in our last segment. Kimberly, you talked about how when we choose exercises, we should choose things that really put a lot of onus on us to actually do things. It's funny because I had started running last year. I wouldn't call myself a runner, but I did begin to enjoy the process running when the weather was nice in the spring, summer, and fall. And then I stopped for many weeks, and I started up again when the weather was really, really cold and icy and just really kind of dangerous to run outside. So I moved into the treadmill, which I had never really run on before at all, and I went immediately back up. I was running like 3 miles, and I was like, wow, I thought I'd be, you know, way back from that since I hadn't run for so long. Then the weather got nice over the past couple of days, and I started running outside, and I ran a mile, and I was like, oh, I can't do 3 miles. So that's what you're talking about, right? How much?
Right.
Yeah.
It's more functional, because, you know, the one thing about running on a treadmill, it's a controlled environment. I mean, it's nothing wrong with treadmill. Treadmill's a great choice if that's what you, you know, it's part of your overall, you know, depending on the weather. The treadmill's going to have to be the, you know, number one choice sometimes. But there's a difference between the treadmill, running on that belt, and running out on the ground. Outside, there's a lot of different gradient surfaces. You might have rocks, you might have hills. It's going to take more for your body to exert. When your feet hit that pavement, there's no soft cushioning each step. So now you have all the force, now I don't want to get too scientific, but all the force is coming from each step, hard hit step on the floor, on the ground. And it comes through your body and shocks every muscle in your body. And guess what? They go, what is going on here? This is tiring me out. So your heart starts pumping more blood. You start breathing a little more laboriously. It's not comfortable anymore. So if you let the time lapse between the outdoor runs, it's going to always be a challenge getting back to it. But with a couple more sessions outside, it's not going to take long for your muscles to remember. They have memory. They know what they used to do. They just need to be kick-started again and get back out there. But there is a huge difference from using machines, machine-assisted exercise, than being right outside or using your own body weight. It's a lot heavier, but I'd say heavier, more challenging workout. It's going to make your heart pump more, and it's going to give you a more calorie burn. So if you're looking for a more heavier calorie burn, that's going to be your choice. Outdoor running is the number one source of calorie burn for weight loss. It burns the most calories running outside. But like I said, we don't want to put a gig on the treadmill, because sometimes it's just the only option in time. You know, you can't get outside. The trail might be down, might be wet, roads are slick. So, you know, with both of them in conjunction with the weather, you want to try and incorporate both of them, and don't let too much time go in between the outdoor session.
Okay, yes, I know you were talking to me on that one.
I don't want to say no names. Don't mean no harm.
Okay, that's okay. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it, and I know
how
many other people are as well. Kimberly,
right.
Let's talk about nutrition.
Okay.
You know, me personally, I'll just share a little bit of my story. When I start exercising, I always feel so great. I come home and I'm screaming and hollering. My husband's like, what got into you? I'm like, I just feel so good. And my kids are looking at me like, ooh, look at mommy. She's just, you know, let's get her out there again. She's in a great mood. And then, you know, what's funny is that sometimes I find the hardest thing for me to do is fit the nutrition in.
Right.
What are some of your tips for that? I mean, you know, should we eat less meat? Should we eat no meat? I know everybody's different, but what are your basic tips for us to think about when it comes to that? Is it just boiled down to counting fat grams?
Well, it boils down to actually looking at your lifestyle. How much movement are you doing? That's what dictates how much you eat. Because actually food, I think a lot of us, we eat for enjoyment. We love to eat. There's a lot of great things to eat. But actually food is a fuel source. So if you look at food like what it really is supposed to be used for, you'd be able to break it down more, you know, more. You wouldn't put so much emphasis on a feeling to food. You know, there's a lot of emotional eating. A lot of people don't eat properly because for whatever reasons go on with them. But actually, food is for fuel. So if I'm not moving a lot, that would dictate how many calories I'll eat a day. It does boil down, I'd say most of it is 80% of it is diet, and it boils down to calories you consume, the calories you put out. If you've consumed 2,000 calories a day, but you've only put out 1,500, that means your walks, your all the great things you're doing to burn calories, and you've only put out 1,500 calories, there's a 500-calorie surplus. Surplus means gain, does it not? So it means that you've gained some energy calories that are not being, they're not being burned off. So that's going to cause you a problem with losing weight. You've got to have a deficit, not a surplus. So you do want to shave a little calories if you were prone to overeating versus for your activity level. But that's something that you have to figure out on your own. I tell people all the time, I can give you, I could say for a certain pound person, they want to have this many calories, but everybody's different. Everybody's, you know, maybe that might be too much for you. So there's a lot of great websites. MyPyramid.gov is a great one. It tells you, gives you great calculators on figuring out how much energy calories do you need and how much activity, what activity would burn off those calories. So they give you a great way to kind of balance it back and forth and see what you need. But it really boils down to a balanced diet. You need to get protein from many sources. Some people don't like meat. I have clients that are, you know, vegetarian, they don't like meat. They can get it from legumes, beans, lentils, you know, tofu, protein shakes. They're a great supplement. I drink a lot of protein shakes because, you know, time, you know, going back to the small business owner, grabbing that donut and grabbing that Coke, grab a protein shake. There are ready-to-drink shakes out there in the market. They're great tasting, and not all shakes taste nasty. My clients always say, they taste nasty. I said, maybe the ones you buy, the ones I buy are good. And I actually look at them like a treat. So there are ready-to-drink shakes. There's shakes that you can make at home. There are bars that you can eat. There are great granola bars. Those snacks are going to help you eat throughout the day. I think most people don't snack enough. Healthy enough, healthy snacks, not just picking up anything. But they eat the big meals, but they don't have any snacks in between. So your body gets used to only processing three meals, and it doesn't burn. Actually, the process of burning food as you eat it, it actually helps you lose weight. So if you only process three big meals a day or two, thinking, oh, if I eat once or twice, I'm going to lose weight, that's actually going to have the opposite effect. If you don't eat four to six small meals a day, your metabolism shuts down and says, I can go to sleep now. She's not giving me anything. I have no work here. I'm going to bed. You want to take that, put some coals into that fireplace and get it fired up again with some meals throughout the day. They're small. They're protein, carb-based, and fat. You cannot cut fat out your diet. Fat actually is needed for you to burn fat. If you cut fat out of your diet altogether, you will not be able to synthesize the process in your body that needs fat. They're not going to go on. You're going to shut them down, and it's going to keep you from losing weight. So we're talking healthy fats here, like olive oil, nut butters, you know, all the healthy fats from nuts and different things like that. You don't want the fat from, you know, margarine, butter. You can have butter over margarine. I would choose butter over margarine. A lot of people don't understand the difference. Margarine has a lot of trans fat. We want, you know, if you're going to have some butter, just have a little bit of butter. You don't have to cut it out of your diet. It's also, you know, everything in its portion. So you want to make sure you have a good ratio of fat, carbs, and protein in each meal. If you just think about that and think about it as fuel, not as you have a right to eat because, you know, I worked out today, I can go eat whatever, that is the worst type of thought process. All my clients tell me, well, I worked out all week, I should be able to go to a happy hour and eat some wings. Yeah, you can, but I don't think you worked out enough for the wings. I really just don't think you did. So there's no entitlement because we're moving, we can eat. It really has to be based on how much movement and it is how much you eat. It's actually you're eating for your life. You're not eating, you know, just because. So putting that relationship with food properly and at the right mindset, I think, will help you. Knowing that you're going to eat throughout the day, and you can just throw something in your purse. It doesn't have to be a big ordeal. I tell people all the time, it is not a big production. You just, at night before the day starts, you have to have all your tools. You have to buy snacks. You have to buy, you know, your salads or whatever it is you're going to eat throughout the day. Pack your lunch. Take it to work. There's no excuse. You can eat at your desk if you have to. But I'd rather you eat something you made than go to Chipotle. We don't even want to talk about them. I don't like talking about anybody specifically, but all the fast food restaurants are high in sodium, and sodium makes you hold water. So you want to limit your sodium in your diet. So clean, we call it clean eating. Good protein sources, good low-fat milks, good fat sources, and good carb sources like vegetables and grains, whole grains. That's what your diet should consist of. Lots of vegetables, a lot of protein, and a lot of water. That's a clean diet, and that's going to help your body process and remove waste, which is part of the fat loss process.
Wow, Kimberly, this is great. You're giving us a whole lot of things to think about. I know for sure I'm going to go back and listen to this show again to make sure that, I mean, just the sound of your voice, you know, I can see why you're called the top fitness trainer because I can hear the boot campish night coming through here.
Well, I feel like, you know, we all make excuses. It's got to be one voice, one person that keeps you real. You got to be real. Hey, if you got this goal, it's never going to happen if we don't start making changes. If I can help you make changes by giving you some quick, actionable things today, I'm writing a book right now called 365 Days of Fitness. It's basically a tip every day that you can whole bunch of process. I think we put too much into it. The more simple you make this, the more results you get, because you're going to do it all the time, because it is really simple.
Little changes, little mindset.
Every day.
A little bit at a time. Like, and that
helps.
It doesn't seem like there's so big a mountain to climb and stay on top of.
Right.
So let's, you know, I didn't ask you about an exercise that I'm not terribly familiar with but have heard a lot about. What do you know about Pilates?
Pilates is a great form of exercise. It's not a cardio exercise. It's more, I would call it strength and flexibility and balance. So it's going to be something that a lot of people use it as their actual strength source. It's really a lot of lengthening, strengthening, leaning out your body. It's a great, and I'm telling you, it's tough. I've taken many a Pilates class, and it is not easy at all. I mean, a lot of guys come in and say, this is all easy. Those guys leave there sweating. They leave out of there holding their stomach, because Pilates engages the very deep inner core muscles, and it makes you work those muscles. It makes you engage more, your brain engage more, especially if you got a great instructor. She's going to help you ignite those muscles by her proper cueing. And that's what Pilates is about. It's about getting deeper into the muscles and enacting a deeper, more effective burn. So it's going to be a challenging class. It's great. You know, that and yoga, they're all great to throw in there. But I'm telling you, if you take a Pilates class, get ready for a tough session. It's going to give you a lot of results. It's going to make you feel a lot better, too, because you'll be more flexible. It's going to lean you out. It's going to make you feel like you're not, like, every time you get up, your bones are creaking, because it's going to lengthen you out. It's going to make you look taller.
Oh, well, I guess most of us stand a little bit of that. Kimberly,
exactly.
Lisa at Blue Moon Candles has another question from the chat
room.
He wants to know exactly what is the best place to follow you for sharing easy, healthy recipes.
Oh, I'm told to visit my blog. I have a whole section that says great recipes on there. My blog is Livin', just like my Twitter name, livinthefitlife.com. And I have categories on workouts, quick workouts that we business owners can use, quick tips. I've got a bunch of great articles that are there that are already archived. She can just click on recipes. She can click on workouts. She can click on motivation. Whatever it is she needs to check out, it's right there in my blog. And like I said, I'm blogging daily because I'm writing a book called 365 Days of Fitness, where she can get a tip every day that she can use right now and actually feel like she's doing something to live a healthier lifestyle every day.
Good advice. Such good advice. And, you know, we really need it today, Kimberly. I thank you so much, because what you talk about the people who, you know, and I'm putting myself in this category sometimes, too, is, who say, you know, I deserve this. I deserve to have all the hot wings dipped in all the hot sauce or whatever
right.
it is. You know, so much of that is associated with the emotions that the media has caused us to connect where food
right.
is. Now, of course, we're
bigger is better. Bigger is always better. A bigger plate. Remember back in the day, all the meals when you ate out were small? Now the plates are so big, it's all big, 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 and that's what they tout you to come into the restaurant, because our plates are bigger. So now we have a nation of people eating big plates, and we have big children, we have big adults, and we have a big problem.
Big children, big adults, big problem.
Yep.
Well, that certainly sums it up. on that note, Kimberly, thank you so much, and we're going to visit you at livinthefitlife.com, check you out on Twitter at livinthefitlife, and I want to encourage you out there to follow Kimberly and make sure that you look for her next fitness challenge. We're not going to have it this month, but I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to stalk you, Kimberly, on Twitter.
And don't forget the No Excuse tweets on Monday. If they want a healthy dose of kicking a butt every Monday, listen to me on Twitter. I've got an excuse every Monday, and you might find one that sounds like you, but at least you can hear those excuses and maybe turn them into some action every Monday.
The one I saw this morning was certainly relevant about the weather preventing you from talking. And certainly, you know, if you can burn 100 calories standing up talking on the phone in your office, the weather doesn't stop you from doing that.
Nope, it sure doesn't. Well, thank you for having me so much, Donna Marie. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's been wonderful. And we'll all be seeing you on Twitter now, because we have questions and we want to follow in you and get tips and hopefully sign up for your next challenge. I want you guys to know it's been great to have you today. Next week, Monday, March the 8th, I've got David Russo, author of 17 Rules Successful Companies Use to Attract and Keep Top Talent. That's right. Whether you're using virtual contractors, in-person contractors, or employees, you know, you got to have some help. And in order to keep good help, you have to treat good help right. So we're going to learn from David Russo about how we can emulate the principles that successful companies use to attract and keep top talent. Check that out next Monday, March 8th, 2010, right here on IndieBusinessRadio.com. Check the website for all my other shows coming up over the course of the next several weeks. I've got some great ones lined up for you. I'll see you next week. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.